all you freaks and geeks out there in podcast land. It's Wednesday, June the 21st, and you know what that means. You got yourself another brand new smoke-filled and jam-packed episode of the Doctor's Orders podcast with the 512 Foot Doctor, the podcast where I meet with some of the most creative and influential people that I know to share stories from the ride of life. As always, I'm your host, the 512 Foot Doctor, coming at you live and direct from the one and only studio of Life or Death. If you're a returning freak or geek, thank you very much for checking back into our regularly scheduled appointments. And if you're new here, tuning in for the first time, welcome to the Freaks and Geeks family. Freaks and Geeks, our guest on today's podcast is a visual artist with a concentration in illustration, printmaking, and graphic design. Native to the city of San Antonio, he has blended his Latino Tejano roots, artistic appreciation, and love for skateboarding and the barrio to create many vibrant, time-felt works of art that have been shown in galleries throughout Texas, on skateboards, featured on beer cans, and for some of today's best stand-up comics. He has an art show titled Homies, For Real and Friends, this Saturday, June the 24th, at the 1301 Gallery in Austin, Texas. Freaks and Geeks, put your hands together, and please, welcome to the podcast, our buddy, Gilbert For Real Martinez. Gilbert, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thank you so much for having me.
I talked to, I'm not sure if it's a buddy of yours, but a fellow artist that has a an installation out in Lockhart. Jeremy told me about you.
Yeah, he's a buddy of mine.
This show got a solid base for shoes and just feet on footwear altogether. So I got a couple of feet questions. What do you have on feet right now?
Right now, I have some Nike Epic Reacts.
Okay,
kind of my go-to comfort shoe.
Nice.
They're the I think they're discontinued, but they're like gold and black.
What kind of shoes do you usually wear?
I go in between skate shoes and like running shoes mostly.
All right. What do you like in the running realm?
In the running, the Epic Reacts, Nike Pegasus.
All right.
Specifically the 33 Shields. That's my favorite like Nike running shoe of all time.
I gotcha.
And what else do I like? Oh, I recently got a pair of Hokas. I forget the name, but
those are big.
I really like those. Those are super comfy.
Yeah. I'm not that big on Nike, to tell you the truth, for running, of course.
For sure.
I get down on like New Balance, Asics, some Brooks. Those are like my realm. I don't know. I think they like really, they beat well. And me personally, I've gotten a lot of like, I don't know, I guess you could say miles, but uses out of those. I love a Nike all day long. I'm definitely a Nike head, but when it comes to like the running realm or the fitness realm, I gotta resort to others. But that's cool. That's what's up.
Yeah, I'm weird. Like when I find like a specific shoe that I like, I just keep buying it in different colors.
Yeah.
So like the Epic React, like I don't think they make it anymore. So like I've had to like go and find it like on what's it called? It's like StockX and eBay before. Got a couple of pairs off there.
How's your experience with StockX been?
I've only used it like once or twice. Yeah. I really don't like it that much.
Really?
I like browsing through it.
Yeah.
But I just hate how long everything takes. You know, you got to get shoes authenticated and then sent to you. And then
I was considering like doing it for my first time. I'm usually an eBay guy if I'm you know, purchase stuff after the release. I do like StockX for just like the numbers. When you can go there, you can get maybe some just some price points and whatnot. But
yeah,
just been trying to talk to people and seeing what their review is and what their take on it is, because I have a shoe in mind that right now that's probably the number one way for me to get it. And just trying to get some reviews from people out there. And it hasn't been good.
Yeah, I think it's like sometimes it's kind of like a last resort thing, like if you miss a shoe drop or something. Yeah. But now there's so many different like avenues to get like shoes, like aftermarket, I guess. I think the only shoes I've bought off StockX were some Crocs, those Soleil Bamberry.
Okay.
crazy. Like they're like gray. They're really comfortable. I like them, but that's like the only shoe I've bought off a StockX.
Yeah, no, I don't. I haven't seen that colorway. I was trying to get those Action Bronson 990s, and like right now, that's the only way for me to cop a pair. I think there might be like one or maybe one pair on eBay on my size, but
those is like green and purple ones, the ones that the first drop that he did.
Yeah, the first drop.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm still, and I mean, I'm gonna try out for this second drop. Some, I mean, I think it's within this week. So
nice.
I'm gonna try for those, but that's gonna be a swing to miss. Those, in all honesty, that New Balance site is not good, and his site crashes as well. It gets flooded. You know, it's just a small independent site. So those are pretty difficult to get. But do you think you can tell a lot about a person by their shoes?
Yeah, I think you can. Like, when I was a kid growing up skateboarding,
yeah,
if I would meet somebody new, I'd always look down at their shoes, especially if they were wearing skate shoes.
Yeah.
And I'd look at it to see if they had like little ollie marks or stuff like that. And I'd automatically connect with them. Oh, this guy skates, like, we're going to get along just fine. Yeah. But then now too, it's like, you kind of see who the people who are hip to things, you know, like, oh, that guy knows what's up. He's wearing a pretty sick pair of shoes right now.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you see somebody wearing the same shoe every day, just beat. It's like, oh man, like, you deserve some new shoes, bud.
Yeah.
I don't think you really care about it like that.
Yeah. But
I always like, shoes are my favorite part of my outfit.
I definitely agree. And I do the same thing as well. I'd say 100% of the time I'm looking down, first thing I'm looking at is shoes. See what's going down in the footwear. It's, I don't know what it is. I think they can tell a lot, but they can tell so much. Do you have a favorite shoe brand?
That's hard. It always, like, it switches a lot, but like my go-to are like, just like Vans. I wear a lot of Vans.
Yeah.
And the Nikes right now.
Yeah.
And I chill in my work shoe that I wear around the studio are just like some standard Crocs. I just need some comfortable shoes, but it's hard to pinpoint one brand because there's so many cool shoes.
Yeah, definitely. Have you picked up anything new recently?
The most recent pair of shoes I got were the Lottery Dunks.
Okay.
They're like green, white, and black, and the swoosh mark like is supposed to wear down and reveal like I think it's like, I forget what the pattern is, but it's like, it has to do with the lottery. It's like lucky number sevens and stuff like that.
Kind of similar to those. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they come with the cool little like keychain that's like a scratcher for like the lottery tickets.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was the last shoe I copped.
Those are sick. That's what's up. I like that. I do like that. Do you have a favorite shoe store in the San Antonio area? There's a couple out there. Do you got a go-to one?
Mine's Deli Skate Supply.
Okay.
That's where I'll pick up like most of my skate shoes, and then they get a lot of exclusive dunks in. So
yeah,
I always hit up their raffle. You know?
All right. That's dope. Have to check them out. I don't think I've hit them up. Do you have a favorite pair of shoes?
Yeah, right now my favorite pair of shoes that I have are it's a pair of Vans Old School Pros.
Okay.
And they're the Andrew Reynolds edition. Like, he did like a colorway with them, like got sponsored by Vans and then just left Vans a couple months ago. So
I'll
like
check those out. I don't know that colorway off top.
It's like a navy blue with like a Carhartt brown like wave.
Yeah. Have you ever dabbled in New Balance skate?
I have. I really like those shoes.
Yeah, I get down with their stuff. I like their stuff.
I had a couple pairs when they had like first came out. I had like the Artos and I forget what the other one was, but it was like a pretty sleek shoe. There wasn't really any panels on it. It was like all one piece.
Yeah.
I really like that shoe, but I've been having my eye on those Tiago Limos 1010s. Those look really cool. I want to try those out.
They got some really, really dope stuff coming out. I usually get down with the Jamie Foy stuff. I forget what, I think it's like 306 or something like that. They're some pretty sleek little basic low sneakers. They're pretty good. I like that stuff. But a lot of their New Balance skate is it's definitely come out of I don't want to say out of nowhere, but it does kind of feel like that. What's your thoughts on the random rise of New Balance skate?
I think it's pretty awesome. You know, it sucks that core skate shoe brands really don't exist like they used to anymore.
Yeah.
But it's cool that, like, if a company's going to come in and, you know, join the skateboarding shoe game, you got to do it right, because there's been a couple of failures in the past. But I think New Balance did it, like, really awesome. You know, they didn't try to come out with crazy, super flashy shoes. They came out with real subtle designs.
Yeah, definitely.
I really liked that about them. And then they had a really awesome team, one that you couldn't deny. So,
yeah. What was it like growing up in San Antonio?
Growing up was pretty cool here in San Antonio. I like grew up on two sides of the town. So, like, for the first like 8 years of my life, I lived on the west side of San Antonio with my grandparents and mom.
All right.
And then my mom got remarried and we moved to the north side with my stepdad. And, you know, that was kind of when I found skateboarding. There's a lot of kids skateboarding in that area.
Yeah.
It was cool. But it was interesting, like, juxtaposition, like, between the north side and the west side, you know?
Yeah.
But I had a great time growing up here in San Antonio. It's a great city for kids, I think.
Yeah. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have one sister who is 12 years younger than me. And then okay. Three stepsisters.
What school did you go to?
I went to Churchill.
Churchill, okay. For me, I don't know a lot about, like, the schooling or just, like, I've been to San Antonio a good amount of times, but I don't know. I mean, I only know my way around certain areas, so
it's for sure.
Yeah. What'd your parents do when you grew up?
My mom, she's always worked in the health industry. So she was a nurse at one point, and then she transitioned into doing like health insurance type stuff, like claims, I think.
Yeah.
And then my stepdad works for Rackspace. He's like a consultant of some sort.
All right.
And then my actual dad, he is, he works for HEB. He's a, he works in the seafood department.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like a butcher, but for seafood, I guess.
All right. Dope. I kind of overshot the school question. So let's backtrack on that. What was school like growing up in San Antonio?
School is cool. I never had a bad time at school. So Churchill, that it was an interesting school because it's like a big football sports type school.
Okay.
And when I was in high school, I was obviously, like, you know, skater kid. I hung out with all the potheads and skaters.
Yeah.
And I kind of made my own lane back then. Like, I remember just hanging out with everybody. Like, I always felt like I was neutral between all the groups for some reason. I hung out with football players. I hung out with, you know, rich kids, hung out with all the skaters. But it was pretty fun growing up in, at that time. Like, I graduated around like 2007. So,
okay.
Around that time, you know, we really didn't have social media like we did now. So it was a bit primitive, I guess. So we were we had to make our own fun back then, you know?
Yeah.
Of course with skating, and then, like, I guess, like house parties and stuff like that bit.
I remember in my times going to San Antonio, we'd often go to like the zoo or like the park area there. Do you have any like experiences at those little like bootleg carnival, like little amusement parks? They used to, I don't know if they have them still anymore, but do you know what I'm talking about?
I definitely do. So when I was like a real little kid, my parents used to take me to this little spot called Kiddyland.
Kiddyland. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We had like little kid rides and stuff, and I used to go there a lot. I used to go to Hemisphere Park a lot when they had like they used to have like this crazy playscape that was like made out of wood.
Okay.
And it was giant like a playground. But that's not there anymore. We used to go there a lot. Funland.
Funland. There's one of those. Dad.
Yeah. And like, do go-karts and stuff. And then later on when I was in my teenage years, they started having like a little skate park there.
Yeah.
So I would go skateboard there sometimes.
Okay.
And then back in the day before there was really like public skate parks, there was this place called The Tank, and it was an indoor skate park that me and my friends used to go to every now and again. That was like the special occasion like spot we would go to, like on our birthdays, our parents would take us to The Tank and we'd go skate like all day. Okay. Yeah. It was a skate park, but I think it was more for BMXers.
Yeah.
Like everything was like super giant, kind of hard to skate, but it was fun.
All right. Did you ever ride that sky ride at the zoo?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure when I was just too young, I don't recall it, but I hear say a lot of this, this sky ride. Tell me about your experiences on that thing.
So the sky ride, from what I know about it, it was part of the World Fair at one point. Like they had built that, and it's in at the San Antonio Zoo.
Yeah,
and it goes right between outside, like a little park. And I remember going on it with my parents when I was really young.
Okay,
was that like I know they shut it down like maybe in the early 2000s, late 90s. So I was real young when they did it. I was probably like in like second or third grade, the last time I remember going there.
Yeah.
But that was a really interesting place to be because everything was so old.
Yeah.
And like interesting, like they all like prehistoric rides.
Yeah.
I first remember that thing. But, yeah, like all my memories of it are from when I was super young.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to look into the World's Fair. I have like a fascination with stuff like that. They had one, of course, in in Queens, Corona Park in New York. They're the famous World's Fair there, and they still have a lot of like the ruins and a lot of the old structures from there. So I don't know. I have a good fascination with that type of stuff. Let's move on. Let's talk about skateboarding in San Antonio. You talked about the Tank. What are some of your other favorite spots?
So growing up, the big skate spot for me that I probably went to almost every day was this ditch. It was kind of by my neighborhood. It's just this super big ditch with like a perfect like hip and like some like gaps and stuff like that. But it was behind a Sonic, and the ditch is, people call it Heepner Ditch, but I grew up calling it Sonic Ditch.
Okay.
That was probably like, it was like a skate park that wasn't a skate park.
Yeah.
Perfect ditch with like smooth little transitions and just like pump around and go real fast. That was like the spot that me and all my friends like would go skate almost every day. And skate park wise, the first public skate park I really kind of skated wasn't really a sanctioned skate park. It was San Pedro Park. There's just like this open little plaza type thing, and when I was younger, there was like some obstacles, like a bench and stuff like that. And people would just go skate flat ground and skate that bench. And over time, some obstacles have been built there. Like now there's like a rail and a box and I think a picnic table or something like that. But that was a really fun spot to go skate.
Yeah.
And then the first like real public skate park was this like, it was janky. It was a old tennis court called Springtime.
Okay.
And it was just like prefab woodward ramps that they put in this place. It started out janky. They ended up making it kind of cool, repaved the whole spot, put some boxes and rails everywhere. And over time, it kind of just got destroyed. And then like a couple years ago, they rebuilt it and put like all these like weird artistic sculpture, like ramps. They're kind of hard to skate, but, yeah, that was one of the skate parks I grew up going to a lot.
That's cool.
Before all the concrete modern parks.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed a rise in the concrete modern parks, but that's also a rise in like, hey, it's a, I guess a stand for skaters in general that
definitely
it's finally, they've finally, I don't want to say acknowledged, but they've, I guess they've been acknowledged to say, hey, we need to have spots in towns for
people
to come through.
It's become like mainstream enough.
Yeah, it's become mainstream enough, but it used to be, you know, outlaw, like don't skate here. You know, the cops are just going to show up and bust your whole thing and just have to go through some shit that you don't have to go through. You shouldn't have had to go through.
Definitely.
Do you have a favorite skate shoe?
Back
then or now?
Ooh, from back then, I used to skate the Rowley Classics a lot.
Okay.
Which is kind of made, like, I think they reissued it a couple times recently. I used to skate S's and Circas a lot, too.
All right.
Like, I had the Mark Appleyard Circas a couple times that I really enjoyed when I was, like, in middle school. And then, what was the S shoe that I skated? The XL Slim. That was one of my favorites. It's like one of their classic shoes, the XL, but it was kind of, the XL was like super puffy. And then at one point they made like a slim down version of it that had like a vulcanized sole.
Okay.
That was one of my favorite shoes. And then now one of my favorite skate shoes is the Nike Blazer, the Grant Taylor version, the low.
All right.
Like I have a kind of wide foot and that shoe is like pretty wide. So I like that shoe a lot to skate. And the Vans old school classics.
Yeah. I dig those. Those are sick. Nice. You got a favorite skater?
Ooh. It changes so much. My hometown hero, Rainey Barris. He's probably one of my favorite skaters to watch.
Say that one more time.
Rainey Barris. He skates for Anti-Hero.
Okay.
He's a pro for them.
All right.
He's from San Antonio. Like, I really enjoy his skating. He's more of like a transition, kind of all-terrain skater.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I really like Tiago Limos a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Probably like one of my all-time favorites is Arto and like Eric Costin.
Yeah. Yeah, I dig on that. One of my favorites, definitely Jason Lee. Old school.
Jason Lee's sick.
So sick. And just like his path, what he's done, where he's come from, where he's at now. Just overall, just solid guy. I really vibe with him.
Yeah, when I found out he skated, it was like so crazy because I didn't know he skated for the longest time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that dude invented like the 360 flip or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
No way, yeah. Or I don't know if he invented it, but like he definitely was like a pioneer of like really good tray flips.
Do you have a go-to HEB item And for people, for the freaks and geeks out there that aren't listening in Texas, HEB is this just, it's the grocery store of the state. Do you have a favorite item from there? Go to?
Like an HEB specific product?
Yeah.
Okay, so one of my favorite things from HEB is they started doing, like, not at all HEBs, but at some, they have like this prepped meal section.
Uh-huh.
But they have this like brisket queso thing.
It's like
this little metal tray, and you just throw it on your barbecue pit, and it all melts down and cooks together. That's probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah, that's a slamming item for sure. I can definitely agree. For some reason, their Doritos hit harder than any Doritos out there. That's
I agree with that. you know what? Like, also, their version of Dr. Pepper, the Dr. B, that's pretty fire.
Slamming right there.
Yeah.
Do y'all have any of these, or have you been to the Meet the End store? I think that's what it's called. It's like have you seen these?
I've seen them. Yeah, they're like, they cater more to like Mexicans and stuff like that. Like, they have like the carne asada and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know if I've been to one, but like in my old neighborhood, there's an OG HEB, and it's in the hood called the Mercado.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, I think it was like a little bit ahead of its time before like the Mi Tienda, but they had like a little butcher shop in there that had it was kind of like a Michoacana kind of grocery store.
Yeah, we don't, in Austin, I have not seen one of these Meet the Endas whatsoever. And I hear there's like another branch of HEB stuff that's called like Joe's Place or some shit like that, that they're trying to drop in like Dallas or something.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, that's the newest one. So that's cool. Just a little HEB talk. You ever been to a Spurs game?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you have a favorite Spurs series, favorite Spurs opponent that's your favorite?
I have two. So my parents had season tickets growing up. So I was at the first 99 finals game, like when they won the championship.
Nope.
That was like probably my best memory of the Spurs games back then. And then when I was in high school, can't remember if it was when I was a senior, but I was going with a friend of mine whose parents had like a box area, so we would go to like a bunch of random games, but we went to I forgot what year it was, 06 or 07 when they won a championship. I forgot who they were playing, but
yeah,
I just remember being at the game, confetti falling, and then we just went straight downtown to go honk. For the people who don't know, like every time the Spurs like win a big game, like people go downtown and just drive around honking.
And you got to do that on a championship night too?
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. That's wild out there.
It is. It's fun though. Like, I don't know. San Antonio fans are different because they're
super diehard.
Yeah, they're really diehard, and like the camaraderie, I guess, is strong out here. Like, it doesn't get weird and violent. We just celebrate and get drunk.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite Spurs player?
All time. Currently, no, because I really don't keep up with basketball like I used to. But like of all time, it's probably Tim Duncan or Monty Ginobili.
All right. Good answers. Great answers. What about concerts in San Antonio? There's a couple of venues out there to check out, historic venues. You got any experience with that?
So there's a spot out here called Paper Tiger, but growing up, it was the White Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a seedy little punk bar.
Yeah.
And
legendary bar.
I grew up going there to those, I've seen so many like hardcore shows there and like a bunch of emo shows when I was in high school. And but I have so many memories of seeing a lot of great bands there, like local bands.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I really don't get out that much to concerts. And when I do, it's like, you know, theater shows these days.
Yeah. Going back to Paper Tiger, tell us about like one of those one show that you went to that was just that was above everything that you ever saw there.
Oh man. The one that sticks out the most was I went to go see this band Unearth, and okay, they came with like two other just straight metal bands. It was Whitechapel and Casey Estrange, I want to say their name was, but that show was so packed and people were just going nuts in the pit. And yeah, back then I was super little and I couldn't find a good spot. So at the time they had like these little that would like open up to the outside that were giant. And I think they used to be like a little bar type situation.
Yeah.
But on this night, the window was just open and it was just like a ledge. So like, I just hopped up on that ledge to where I could see over the whole crowd and see like I was on stage left side.
Okay.
So I had a good view of the band and like the pit and I was out of the way.
Yeah.
And, I just remember this big giant dude. He's just like going around in the pit, like just crushing people. Like he's not even fun. He's just like there to kind of fight.
Yeah.
And close to the end of Under set, this roadie just comes flying off the stage, like bicycle kicking.
Yeah.
Like, and like hits this dude. And when he goes down, all these people just like start like beating the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And the show ends after that. The lights turn on and I just see like people like running out of the venue and that dude is getting dragged out. He's all bloodied up and
holy shit.
Like, I feel like someone like maybe stabbed him or cut him or something. Cause that dude was bleeding a lot. Yeah,
yeah.
That was one of my most memorable shows there.
Yeah. That's intense. That's out there.
Yeah.
I dig it though. I dig it. There's a time and a place for it. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about your favorite places to eat in the city. What do you got?
Ooh, okay. So
throw us some bangers.
Lately, I've been eating a lot of Korean barbecue.
All
my
right.
wife, we like to go to this spot called Chaz Market, and it's a convenience store that has a Korean barbecue spot inside of it. It's really
that,
cool. You go
sit
down.
You do it yourself?
Yeah, you can do it yourself, or you know those. They'll bring it out already prepared.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Like you sit down and there's just like a wall of like refrigerators, like a convenience store with drinks. Mm-hmm. So you go get your drink and just take it back to the table, order your food. And it's really interesting.
That's
and
cool.
I think they have like a little deli back there too. Like they make sandwiches and tacos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite spots. Another all-time favorite is Blanco Cafe. It's like it's like one of the longest-running like Tex-Mex restaurants here in town.
Yeah,
I grew up going there with my grandparents, and it's, I ended up going to high school with one of the owner's kids, and we skated together. So when I was in high school, it was like free Blanco Cafe all the time.
Mm.
Yeah,
that'll hit the spot.
Oh yeah. Trying to think of something else. There's this bar downtown. It's like a bar and they have food called the Double Standard.
Okay.
I really like going there. They have like really awesome oysters and they make this, this bean dip. It's like to die for. It's not like you eat a Frito-Lay bean dip, you know, it's like some real fancy stuff with like thinly sliced toast they give you, kind of like an English thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's probably one of my favorite like bar food places to go as of recently.
Hell yeah. Those are some good recommendations. That's dope. I dig it.
Yeah.
So I want to do this right now. Let's take some time You got an event coming up. Plug that event. Plug the social media. Plug the website. I want to do it at the end of the show too, but I want to do a little something new. We've been listening, Freaks and Geeks. You've been tuning into the episode for a little bit now. It's episode number 37. So, Gilbert, throw some little shout outs. Throw some plugs. What do you got for them?
All right. So this weekend, I've got a show at 1301 Gallery in Austin. It's a solo show, and I curated a show with my friends in the second part of the gallery. So the show is called Homies, For Real and Friends. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm going to be showing some new work at a fairly new gallery, which a good friend of mine actually started. I'm excited about that. You can see more details and previews to my work on my Instagram, which is forreal_art. I've got a link there to my website where you can get my posters and stickers and t-shirts and things like that. So if you guys want to, go check that out.
Hell yeah. I'm definitely going to be there. I got to check it out. And Freaks and Geeks, we're going to post all those details in the show notes as well. And Gilbert will chat about them near the end of the episode again. So I checked out that the 1301 gallery. I've never been to a spot in South Austin. I've been to a good amount of spots in East Austin. That East Austin just gallery scene is definitely popping. There's a lot going on. They also have like almost an industrial art scene going out there as well. You got these like old houses that are on like Cesar Chavez that they've turned into galleries. And then a little further out towards like Airport Boulevard, there's some other more modern just gallery spaces that are pretty dope. But yeah, I've never been to a gallery in South Austin, so I'm definitely excited. Definitely want to check that out. What got you into creating art?
Funny enough, skateboarding got me into art. I was always drawn to like the graphics on skateboarding, like, you know, from a young age. Everybody, you know, grows up making art. I just kept doing it. So when I fell into skateboarding, I was already like doodling all the time and making little drawings here and there. But I remember like the first time I got like, I guess, the little recognition for making art was I used to like spray paint on my grip tape and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like my friends like hype me up about it. Like, oh, that's so sick. You should like we had like a little skate team back in the day, which was called EFL, was just okay. Life backwards.
Okay.
So like I just remember like my friends were like, hey, do the little EFL tag on our grip for us. So I would do that. And then like I started making stickers and I would put them up all around the school.
Yeah.
And started doing this thing, like doing little art drops where I would like paint on like Coke cans and stuff, like spray paint the whole thing and then just like draw some crazy shit on it and just like leave it in spots and see if people take them.
Yeah.
And like it started kind of becoming a thing when I was in high school and it's like, oh, this artist dude is like making these little cans. And I was like,
oh shit, so you were underground, they didn't know it was you?
Yeah, I mean my friends did. And then yeah. Like I remember one day, like I bought an old book from like a thrift store and like I painted the outside, made like my own cover and I left it on a water fountain. And as I was walking, some girl was like, hey, did you leave this here? And I was like, yeah. She was like, why? I was like, oh, it's just art. And she's like, oh, wow, that's cool. Can I have it? And I was like, sure. And I remember like it kind of became a thing after that. People would go like wait for me to leave, you know, pieces of art, and that kind of like hyped me up to want to keep making art. But
that sounds fun.
Yeah, one year in high school, I accidentally got enrolled in a graphic design class.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, so like that's when I started figuring out, put two and two together. It's like, oh, graphic design is what's used to do skateboard graphics.
Yeah,
I'm gonna learn that. And like, it was also a printmaking class.
Okay.
So that's what got me into printmaking. So when I was in high school, I would do offset printmaking, which was like, we'd use these little printers called AB Dicks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this old school printer that you would like burn these plates with, and it has like all these, rollers inside, and it would suck in a piece of paper and spit out a printed little piece of art or document. So like that's where I got interested in the graphic design and printmaking aspect of my art making.
Hell yeah. That's it, dude. I get down with that. How would you describe your style of art?
My style is pretty like illustrative. I like to kind of do like collage work, but with my own illustrations. So I like to do these things recently where I'll come up with an idea, for like a piece. So to give you an example, I made this piece called Controller, and it's almost like a tattoo, flash sheet where it's just a bunch of different illustrations of art that kind of relates to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I made this piece, and everything in this piece was like objects that could potentially control your life, or so like one of the main pieces in the Controller piece is a VHS tape of The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to represent like being possessed. There's another thing that's like a mouse wrapped around a rose, and that's supposed to like represent like people being addicted to like the internet. There's a bunch of other little subtle designs in there, but I like to come up with these ideas and make like a cool little, like a flash art piece of my illustrations. And then I do like a lot of, like I was talking about collage pieces.
Yeah.
I'll take like my own illustrations and kind of recollage them in these weird layouts that, end up looking cool in my opinion.
Yeah. That's good. Are any of these new pieces going to, or any of the pieces going to be at the gallery showing this Saturday?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. My pieces too are, like pretty mixed media. Like I like to combine, screen printing and it's like hand painting and put them all together to make a one piece. If y'all go to the show, y'all can definitely see what I'm talking about, see how I make my art, and check out my style, I guess.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. I dig it. There's a take on it for sure. You got a lot of down home type stuff. I can definitely see the San Antonio vibes flourishing.
Oh, definitely.
They're sick.
I paint what's around me, I guess. Yeah. So I like to do a lot of like everyday kind of scenery type things, and like in this new show that I'm gonna have, a lot of the paintings involve just like very figurative pieces of people, and I like to just like, you know, I'll go out and just like take pictures of people on the street and reference those, the show is kind of a representation of my environment and kind of what I've just been working on stylistically, I guess, trying to combine everything. And like, I feel like as of recently as an artist, my work has gotten, my style has become more of my own, I guess. Like when I was younger, my work was very loose and like wild and unpredictable, I guess.
Yeah.
As I've gotten older, and worked as a graphic designer, like those graphic design traits start leaking over into my fine art. So like I will plan out a whole painting these days before I even paint it. That way when it's coming out, I know exactly how it's going to come out. There's no mistakes. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. Yeah, definitely. Gotta have a plan.
Yeah.
Talk us through the process of screen printing.
So screen printing, it is it's a long process, kind of. So screen printing use screens to that you burn stencils into, and the screen is like a mesh. Like just think about a screen door, and you throw in paint through it. You burn a stencil into your screen, which is your design, and you kind of use a squeegee to smash ink through that screen.
Yeah.
And it leaves a cool little print. It's a long process, I guess. You gotta, you know, clean your screens, coat your screens, wait for them to dry.
Yeah.
You gotta burn your image onto your screens, and depending on how many layers your piece might be, that's how many screens you have to have for a single poster. So like, usually like when I print posters and things like that, like of my own work, it'll be like, I don't know, 4 to 6 colors. But I've printed things for other people that have been up to like 12 colors.
Yeah.
It gets pretty, pretty intense sometimes. Over the years, I've worked like in the screen printing industry, like on like the t-shirt printing side of it.
Yeah.
So, there's a bunch of little tricks of the trade that you can use to like make, you know, colors look like a whole bunch of different colors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cool process. If you like printmaking, it's my favorite style of printmaking.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I'm a freak for a screen print shirt, poster, concert poster. I just really dig that stuff altogether. I like the work that goes into the layers to produce your final product.
Definitely. When it goes smooth, it's the best feeling, but there's a lot of things that can go wrong when it comes to screen printing. Like with this Texas heat recently, I've been having like the worst trouble of burning my screens. Like with the, it's so humid here sometimes that sometimes screens won't develop properly or wash out correctly. And it's a pain in the ass because, you know, I'll have something I need to print by the next day and I'm having issues on something so basic as just getting a screen burned.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
Can you like describe for the listeners that aren't aware to this entire process, give us the rundown on the whole rig situation for printing.
It varies. I have a pretty simple, little setup for printmaking. I just have some hinge clamps set up on some, like a real nice piece of like laminated wood.
Mm-hmm.
That screen connects to those hinge clamps, and you kind of just have a screen that will lift up and down.
Yeah.
And you just put your paper underneath it and print. I really don't print t-shirts in my home studio. It's mostly all just flat stock pretty much. Yeah. And just like my paintings from time to time.
Yeah.
But it's real simple if you want to have a home setup. Like my setup is very DIY. If you were to look at it, you'd be like, oh, wow, that's all I need. And so, yeah, like I think people kind of get freaked out by screen printing because they think you need a bunch of crazy equipment to get started. But if you just want to print posters, it's the simplest setup you can have. But like once you want to start printing t-shirts, that's where it gets like super technical, I guess. Like you have to use a different kind of ink and you have to have a dryer. And there's a bunch of aspects to printing t-shirts versus printing posters. But I think it's pretty easy. If people want to start doing it, you can definitely do it in your own home.
Yeah.
That's how I got started, was just me and my friend wanting to print and just figuring it out on our own.
Yeah. No, I dig that, man. Have you heard of Feel So Good Records in Austin, Texas?
I have not.
They're a pretty dope little screen printing company there. They also utilize their storefront as like a music venue, and they they have records and like vintage stuff as well. Check them out. They make some dope little one-off shirts. They're
nice.
I don't know if I know of any other operations in Austin that are getting down like they're getting down. I'm sure there is, but they have a really good quality product and a hell of a just store to browse and check out. So definitely check that spot out. And that goes for the Freaks and Geeks as well. Feels So Good Records.
That's awesome. We need to check that out.
All right. So how did you score this, like, the gig to put your artwork on, like, skate decks and wheels and stuff?
So, like, being an artist and having that reputation and being a skater too, you know, the first couple of skateboards that I made were actually for a friend who started his own skate shop. It used to be called 5-0 Skate Shop.
Okay.
And he gave me the opportunity to make the first, or pretty much all of their boards they had until they went out of business. And that was a really cool opportunity. Kind of let me do whatever I wanted. So I got to experiment and also learn from my mistakes from doing skateboard graphics.
Yeah.
But then...
where'd you do those? Did you go to... how'd you do those?
Like the illustration part?
Was that done at home?
Oh, well, I don't print the skateboards. I just I think sometimes people get confused on that, think that I print the boards.
Provide the artwork and whatnot.
Yeah, I just provide the artwork. And,
all right, that's sick.
There's like manufacturers who print the boards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I got the first few opportunities were from that skate shop to do their skate decks. And then, 1 year, No Comply in Austin, they have every year they do a deck design contest.
Shout out to them.
And yeah, shout out. I actually won.
Hell yeah.
What year? Maybe 2014. I won their contest.
Look at you.
Yeah, it was cool. And like the image that I used is actually one of my like more popular images that I print a lot all the time. It's like a Paletta man.
Okay.
That was a really cool board I got to do. Really exciting because, you know, how prestigious, I guess, No Comply is in the skateboard community.
It
was awesome to get to work with them like that.
Yeah, that's dope. You got picked out on that. That's sick.
Yeah. And then later on, I got the opportunity to do some professional boards for Enjoy.
Yeah.
And that was actually kind of funny how that came about. I had did this graphic just on my own. It was like this little cowboy riding a gimp.
Yeah.
And I put it on Instagram one day and I messaged my buddy Malik. I was like, yo, do you think you could add this post to Louis Barletta from Enjoy Skateboards? For some reason, I feel like he's going to like this.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, for sure. So he sends it to Louis. And like an hour later, my buddy hits me up. He's like, dude, the guy hit me up. He wants to use this graphic and he's asking me if he could use it. And he's like, I gave him your email and your Insta. So I think he's going to hit you up. And I was like, oh shit. So he hit me up. We talked about it, and I ended up doing the board pro series for them that revolved around that graph.
Yeah. So yeah, that's your first just collab with them.
Like, with like a property, and you know, actually get paid for it. You know.
Yeah. Because you've done more for them as well, right? You've you did like a Loteria one.
Yeah, that was actually the first one.
Okay.
That series was the original, which was cool. Like, it came with the actual Loteria set inside the board so you can play a game. And from that board, I ended up doing four more series.
Okay.
And the series actually never got released here. It's like, I don't know if you know. The distribution that owns it, Dwindle Distribution, kind of they sold to like a giant corporation, and that corporation kind of and all the skateboard companies that they owned, and Enjoy kind of just faded away and it's no more. So I ended up kind of that last graphic I did never got really, but you know, it's a little life lesson, I guess, business.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, through that I've had a couple of cool opportunities to do other skate stuff just from being able to do the enjoy thing, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Is your most recent one the Cars one, or is that the one you were talking about?
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
Okay.
That one didn't officially drop. Like, I think it just came out in Europe.
Mm. Yeah, they're pretty sick, dude.
Yeah, thank you.
Little Wienermobile, little PT Cruise in the tank. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And the color palettes on those they work well. Use a lot of vibrant tones in your art. I've noticed that there's not a lot of dark stuff. So the colors is pretty sick. Your little oranges, your different shades of blues and yellows and greens. There's a lot of dope stuff going on here. So I can appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Light palettes.
Super bright colors and stuff like that. But it's always changing.
Do you like stand-up comedy?
I love stand-up comedy.
Who do you like?
Ooh, my favorites are like Ari Shaffir, Joey Diaz.
Hell yeah.
Krista Stefano is one of my favorites. Ryan Sickler.
Love Sickler.
Right, he's the man. Josh Wolf.
Yeah.
I really like Ralph Barboza. He's awesome.
Okay.
You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, so like there's so many different comedians that I like just from podcasts, like Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino are probably some of my favorite comedians too.
And you've created some stuff for them?
Not officially for them, just as a fan.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, and it kind of ended up in their podcast space. Like they printed like a small poster of my design, and it's up behind. Like if you ever watch the show,
oh shit,
you can see it behind the producers.
That's dope. Is it that little Yin Yang one?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, I get to work with them one day.
Yeah, that's sick. What about I've seen you. Did you do one for Ari, or is that a fan made one too?
Yeah, most of the comedy stuff is just all fan stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, that Ari one, that was probably like the first one I did. I used to listen to the Skeptic Tank a lot, and he was always putting out like, hey, if you design stuff and I like it, I'll use it. So like I would just post stuff randomly.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with like I did a piece for Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
Where he used to have his podcast, and they were going to use it, and then they ended up stopping the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorite podcasts was The Church of What's Happening Now. Shout out to
I miss that podcast.
That's the foundations of podcasting right there. And Ari stuff too. Have to.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite place to see comedy in San Antonio?
Well, we have LOL here, Comedy Club, and I think it's kind of like a chain comedy club. I'm not sure. Yeah. I think they have them everywhere, like other cities. There's a cool little like indie venue too called the Blind Tiger.
Okay.
It's in the basement of a restaurant called the Magic Time Machine here.
No shit. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
Okay. That's new, right?
Yeah, it's fairly new. And like they've done some cool stuff. Like I follow a couple of the comedians who do shows there.
Yeah.
Those are like pretty much the only comedy places like I've been to. And then, you know, like theater shows when like bigger acts come. Like I've seen Tom Segura at the Majestic Theater.
Damn, that's dope. That's a dope little, that's sick.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I also got to see Tom Segura like early on in his career at LOL.
Yeah.
And I sat in the front row and got roasted.
Yeah. That's always hard to do.
Yeah. My mistake.
Yeah, that is a beginner mistake. It's happened to me too. It was the fucking Wayans brothers that got me. Both of them.
Oh, shit.
Coming at you hot.
Damn.
That's what's up, man. I want to continue talking more comedy because it's I like to share. I like to chat up with people about this. What else have you seen come through there? Who else?
One of like the first comedy shows I ever went to was I saw George Lopez when I was young.
Yeah, where was that at?
at the was it at the Alamo Dome or the at the time it could have been the SBC Center.
Okay.
One of the arenas where the Spurs played, but it was they had filmed one of his HBO specials at the show I went to. I forget which special it was. Like they all his specials kind of meld together for some reason. Yeah. But that was one of the first comedy things I went to when I was younger. And then when LOL opened up, like I started going to like a couple of shows. Like when I first started getting into podcasts, like early, like 2011, 2012, like I saw Mark Maron,
okay.
Bobby Lee, Nick Youssef. Who else have I seen there? John Panette, I saw him there once. Yeah.
Do you know, I think this local guy, Raul Sanchez?
Is he the military guy? Or like he used to be like, he actually opened up for, I want to say it was Bobby Lee the time I saw him. If it's the same guy, I believe I've seen him.
Yeah, he's usually an opener for the headliner.
Nice.
He's pretty good. I've seen him in Austin like maybe twice, once for sure, and I dig him.
Now
he was he was opening for the headliner too.
Man, I need to go check out comedy in Austin now since y'all are the comedy capital of the world now, it seems.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're calling it now. That mothership is pretty dope though, man. Like I've walked by it once and it's something to go and check out. It used to be Alamo Draft House.
Oh, that's sick.
I'd like to see, it was a 2-theater Alamo Draft House, so I'd like to see what adjustments they've made to make some a hell of a comedy club so far.
Yeah, I heard Brian Redband opened a club down the street.
Yeah, and that's pretty awesome. Cool. They're all like just vibing and floating around down there on 6th to just all the clubs that are down there. It's crazy that, I mean, there was never comedy there.
Like a scene.
Yeah. I know there was like one, I think maybe one or two clubs there. There was more of like an improv scene down there. I forget what Estrus Foley, I think is what it's called. It was the improv comedy club.
Don't you have a Moon Tower or something?
Yeah. Moon Tower is like a festival. It's also it's a number of things. It dates back to like the moon towers are these structures in the city that would be light sources in the evening to, you know, restaurants named after it, bars named after it, and now like a comedy festival. But you should check that out if you ever have the chance to. That's pretty dope. I've seen like Ralphie May did a showcase with a bunch of Austin comics back then. What else have I seen? Are You Garbage? I've seen them do their little thing. They did an entire show here. So it's just a lot of comedy, just a lot of acts going on stages, rotating. It's almost like a music festival, but it just happens through, it's not the course of like a weekend. So you're not just out there all day. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they do it in some really amazing like venues and locations throughout the city.
Sick.
Don't y'all have like a comedy festival out there in San Antonio?
If there is, I don't know about it.
I might be thinking of like a Houston one.
I could see Houston definitely having one.
Yeah.
Like my wife and I, we want to go to Skankfest.
Yeah, where's that at?
I feel like they've been doing it in Vegas primarily the past few years.
Yeah.
And then they did it in Houston one year as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I have heard about that one. That one's a cool little program they got going out there.
Yeah.
One of the popular ones.
Yeah, I really like watching those guys, the Legion of Skanks and the Gas Digital dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out. A lot of podcasting is continuing to roll on and inform and do for a lot of people. So I definitely fuck
it. Oh, yeah. Me too.
So let's get back onto this show. All right. You got a show coming up June 24th. I know you plugged it a little bit, but let's talk about like the early phases of it. What are you looking forward to most at this show? And tell us about it again. Throw us the title. Throw us what we can look forward to at this thing.
Yep, for sure. So the show's titled Homies. kind of wanted just to take, like I was talking about before, all my pieces in this show are very figurative and like, they're just based on everyday interactions with people. Like, when I came up with the addition, like the first idea for it, my idea was, like how Seinfeld is a show about nothing, mm-hmm. kind of making a show about nothing, but it's about, you know, everyday life. Like sometimes your everyday life, the things you see every day become so mundane that you don't really stop to just look at, you know, just like random people in the street or, you know, but with these pieces, I wanted to make some pieces where you would see this scene, be like, oh, I could see myself, you know, riding a bike with this group of people or, you know, just being in this environment. It's so everyday, but, you know, my work involves a lot of bright colors and patterns and stuff like that. So I take those scenes and I kind of collage them up with these patterns and colors, and it turns the scene into a layout of design rather than a landscape, like a traditional landscape, I guess, or a portrait. It's like a remix, in my style, I guess I would say. Like one of my bigger influences with art making is like, Shepard Fairey. So I feel like if you see my work, you'll see some similarities, I guess, like when it comes to like pattern usage and like the way I approach making my work.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something you got to check out and just like see in person.
Yeah. I'm excited to check it out, man. I can't wait. Back to it. What are you looking forward to most about the show?
I'm just looking forward to seeing everybody's, reaction to the pieces. Like when you're working on the paintings, sometimes like you get stressed out making the work and like you have a deadline. So as it's like approaches, the stress kind of gets, it pumps up and like you start getting these weird thoughts like, oh man, or is anybody going to come to the show? What are they going to think of this work? Am I going to sell anything? Cause you know, as an artist too, this is a way that I make money. So there's a lot on the line kind of. It's like, man, I spent all this time making this work. Like, I hope people enjoy it and I hope people want to buy it.
Yeah.
But most of all, I just want to see people's reactions to it and, like see the way people connect to it.
Yeah.
You know, a good review, a bad review. Like, I just want to hear people's reactions.
And is this going to be your first showing out of San Antonio?
At a gallery of this caliber and a solo show, yes.
Dope. You got some people coming with you, right?
Yeah. So I asked a couple of my close buddies who make art here in San Antonio, people that I've showed with over the years, to, you know, showcase with me. So we've got artist James Supa Madrano. He's a really awesome painter from here in San Antonio. Albert Gonzalez, really awesome guy. We got Jeremy, who you know, the Beast Syndicate. He's going to be in the show. I actually met him last year at Print Austin. We had a booth like right next to each other.
Oh yeah.
Ended up chatting it up the whole time we were there, traded some pieces, became, you know, Instagram friends, and he lives in another city, so pretty much how we stay in contact, and we always talk about doing something together, so I figured this would be a cool opportunity to get him in the mix.
Nice, man. Good shit on that.
Yeah, I've got another awesome stencil artist named ASL. He's going to be showing. He's got a really cool eye and like aesthetic for his pieces. Got an artist from California, Jared Nichols, who goes by Dye Job on Instagram.
Okay.
He does like a lot of the graphic design work for our local skate shop here in town called Deli Skate Supply.
Ooh.
I really like his work, so I wanted to get him involved. Who else? A local to Austin, Chad Mazzarelli. He's a screen printer that I went to school out there with. He makes some cool work. He's in the show. Got another artist from here, Elias Vieja. He's a really cool. I keep saying everybody's really cool, but they make fantastic work as well. But yeah, it's going to be a cool little group show and solo show at the same time.
That's badass, man. Again, definitely looking forward to it. Have you been to this place in San Antonio called Hopscotch?
I have, yeah.
What's your take on that? I've been very curious to check that out. I definitely love like the immersive art. There's a couple of galleries in Austin like that, but what's your thoughts on this space?
It's really cool. And most of the artists in there are friends of mine, so I super support it. It's a cool space. You know, you can get a nice fancy little cocktail there and go enjoy the murals they have. It's very modern. The aesthetic in there is really cool. I enjoy it. Yeah. I think if you're in San Antonio, you should check it out.
Yeah, hell yeah. What's your thoughts on like the rise of artists doing these like pop-up classes? Do y'all have any of this in San Antonio? I know a couple of people out there that are like in Houston that they'll have their art craft and then they'll team up with a venue and it's like, all right, we're gonna instruct, you know, 20 people to go through this process and do this. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I've actually done it myself.
Okay,
so I've actually done like a little printing seminar here at my house, like my home studio. A former professor of mine, she teaches at Incarnate Word now doing graphic design. So we got to do a little collaboration with her class, and her class came out and they designed the poster, and I kind of showed them the ins and outs of screen printing, and everybody got to print one of their posters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And then I've also gotten the opportunity to do like a, it's more of like a printing showcase where people are like a demonstration, I guess, at the McNay Art Museum.
Okay.
They had like this high school night where hundreds of kids just showed up, and we printed tote bags that I designed, and some kids printed it, but for the most part, I was just printing all these bags for everybody. That was really fun.
Yeah.
Then I did a live printing event for this like party scene thing called Burkout San Antonio.
All right.
And there's this there's like this alley downtown called Peacock Alley. It's like covered in like these awesome artwork on both sides of the wall, and they do like events in this alley.
Yeah.
And they had like this live DJ setup thing, and one of the guys from Cypress Hill came out to like DJ and play like percussion with them.
All right.
So I did like a live screen printing of like the event poster. It was pretty cool. It's like, it's a lot different than just printing alone in my garage.
Yeah. Different vibe to it.
Definitely.
A lot of things going on.
Yeah.
So I guess I got like one more question. As an artist, what goes into picking the location for your showings?
You know, pretty much whoever will have me. Sometimes it's not really about picking a place. Like, I feel like sometimes I don't even know I'm going to have an art show until I get presented the opportunity. Or, you know, also to submitting artwork to shows. I do that a lot. I'm fortunate that, you know, I'm friends with a lot of gallery owners and stuff and artists here in San Antonio who have studios/galleries where I'm able to show, you know, just from showing in those different shows, you get other opportunities, to show in other places. The 1301 gallery was definitely a friend opportunity. I went to college with the owner. Yeah. And he hit me up. He was like, hey man, I'm starting this gallery. Would you be interested to be one of the first artists to show? And I was like, oh, definitely. Since it's a friend who owns it, I couldn't turn that down. And, you know, we went to their first show opening and it was fantastic. You know, my expectations were like blown out of the water with his gallery.
I love all these new galleries that are popping up. I'm seeing a couple. There's a few here and the ones popping up in Austin, and there's just definitely galleries popping up in the surrounding areas too. So that's fucking badass. I get down with that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Gilbert. Well, let's wrap it up. Little conclusion. One more time. Where can the Freaks and Geeks find you? Social media, your website, maybe throw some shout outs, throw a little one more time plug for the homies showing, and then maybe some last words for the Freaks and Geeks. What do you got for them?
Yeah, for sure. You can find all my stuff on my Instagram. So @forreal_art. There's a link to my web store. Check out all my work. Shout out to 1301 Gallery. Shout out to Black and Gray Gallery here in San Antonio. Shout out to the homies at Not For You Gallery. Those are two galleries that I show at quite often. Shout out to the homies at Carbon Bloom Gallery. Little shout out to the skate shops here that I support, Simpler Skate Shop and Deli Skate Supply. Those are the homies. And shout out to my wife, Sabrina Martinez, for, you know, putting up with me while I make all this art for the show. You know, a little last words, everybody get out there and make some art, even if you've never made art, you know, try it. Might be a cool way of therapy for you. Take some personal time and just make a painting. You never know if you like it or not.
Well, again, Freaks and Geeks, Gilbert's got a show coming up this Saturday, June the 24th at 1301 Art Gallery. Go out there, support him, tell him what's up. Well, Freaks and Geeks, that's all she wrote. Again, I want to thank our guest on this week's episode of the podcast, number 37, Gilbert For Real Martinez, for taking time to come on the podcast and talk about his perspective on art, his experience with art, his experience skateboarding, his experience growing up in the city of San Antonio, and giving us a little bit of insight, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of foreshadowing on his upcoming art show titled Homies For Real and Friends. It's going to be taking place this Saturday, June the 24th at the 1301 Art Gallery in Austin, Texas, from I believe 7 to 10 p.m. Freaks and Geeks, go hit him up on social media, hit him up on Instagram, follow him there, go to his website, go browse his website. He's got multiple things for sale, prints, beautiful works of art. Go support him. If you do have the chance again to go check that showing out, again, that's Homies For Real and Friends. It's going to be June the 24th. That's this Saturday, if you're listening live when this episode drops. This Saturday, the 1301 Art Gallery in South Austin from 7 to 10 p.m. Freaks and Geeks, thank you for listening. And remember, I know I've been slacking a little bit on episodes, but we're dropping episodes hot every Wednesday from at 6 a.m. Check it out. Do me a favor. If you're not already subscribed to the Doctor's Orders podcast on whichever podcast platform that you prefer, please go and do so. Make sure you continue to leave a comment and rate the podcast while you're there subscribing. Also, hit me up on the Doctor's Orders podcast hotline. Drop us a question that you have for upcoming guests. If you have a guest request that you'd like to submit, drop it there. You can even text that number as well. That's 512-522-3814. Also, be sure to follow me on Instagram and continue to spread the message and tell freaks and geeks that you know about the podcast. Remember, the Doctor's Orders podcast is a Life or Death Studios production. Freaks and Geeks, until next time, we'll see you on the next one. Don't be late.